are starting a new series this morning, and entitled the whole series Spectacularly Normal. And you know, we are bombarded with the spectacular, aren't we? You know, you only need to walk down the street, you see the spectacular. You put on the television set or you go online, the spectacular. We are bombarded by this spectacular thing, society, that is going on. And we're told how we can be spectacular and how to look spectacular, how to feel spectacular, how to stay spectacular. But I'm reminded this morning that, as John Legend reminds us, we're just ordinary people. You know? That we're just ordinary people. And so I want right now the pressure. Everyone just go, just let that pressure of having to be this thing that you feel pressured to be, not a pressure anymore. And so as I begin to speak to you today and over these coming weeks about being spectacularly normal. So it was the Oscars this last week. Anybody watch that kind of stuff? Obviously, you were underwhelmed with the Oscars this time. And I was just watching something on my Twitter feed, and it was actually Lady Gaga. It's not often that I start a talk speaking about Lady Gaga. Of course, she won an Oscar this year, and it was literally just a little bit of her acceptance speech. And in relation to this whole spectacular, and she said something like this, for all you, because she was on television obviously addressing millions and millions of people around the world, and she said, for all of you sitting out there on your sofas right now, and she was holding up her Oscar, which was worth more than this bottle of water. She was holding up her Oscar and she said, for all of you sitting on there, out there on your sofas right now, this is hard work. And she carried on to say, and I have been working hard for a long time. And I think what she was trying to do there was she was trying to bring it back to the ordinary. That if you want this, you've got to have this. That you can't just have the spectacular. For whatever that means to you today. And so often we want the spectacular, but we ain't that good at the ordinary. And I want to say, if you have any desire for spectacular, and there's nothing wrong with that, to do some spectacular things for God, to be spectacular, to do some amazing things, nothing wrong with that this morning. But my advice to you, having lived a little bit of life, and I'm sure you would agree with me this morning, if we want the spectacular, we have got to learn how to be spectacularly normal. I believe the road to spectacular is paved with normality. If you want a spectacular marriage, not a lot of noise at the minute. If you want a spectacular marriage, they are not bumped into. We know by experience that we don't just fall into a spectacular marriage. I believe it takes the ordinary, and much of it, the ordinary practice of forgiveness to even start to create a spectacular marriage. Well, I can say a spectacular prayer for my marriage, but I can't forgive my husband for what he did 3 months ago. Spectacularly normal. Spectacular results require lots of ordinary revision days. And so say all the students. Spectacular performances rely on just one thing, lots of ordinary rehearsals. Just ordinary. Spectacular business, and spectacular businesses and organizations are built by ordinary, consistent practices. I'm speaking here about decision-making, amongst many other things. That's why I want to spend some time speaking about spectacularly normal, with the strap line, how to be your very best at ordinary. How many videos on YouTube have you watched on how to be your very best at being ordinary? It's so important. And a foundational scripture that I want to bring to you for the series is found in the New Testament letter that was written to the Roman church and effectively could be written to the church in Wigan. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2 reads like this in the Message version. Listen to these words. I believe these words alone are enough, actually. Listen to what it says. Put so well in the Message version. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, of course. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become, everyone say don't. This is something we're not to do. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. Did you hear what I said? If you're going to fix your attention on anything in your ordinary everyday life, fix your attention not on the stuff, not on the issues, not on the problems, not on the things that are going wrong. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Wow. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture that is around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. Develops well-formed maturity in you. Everyone say in you. Turn to the person next to you and say, in you too. Now, while we're looking at turning attention, I want to turn our attention today and over the next few weeks on a young man named Joe. He is found in the Old Testament in the first book of the Bible, which is Genesis. Thank you. And of course, most of you know him as Joseph. And I want to turn our attention to him, really, for a period of time, because there's some things that I think we can learn from him. So he is a guy who, when he's mentioned in the scripture, is just 17 years of age. This guy is not a man of maturity. He's just coming to manhood. He's still, I suppose, an adolescent, we would say. But he's 17 years of age, and guess what's happening to him in his life? He's started to have spectacular dreams. You know what I say? Thank God for dreamers. For people who dream of a better day. Come on. Thank God for people who dream of a better society. For people who dream of a better church. For people who dream of better life. Thank God for the dreamers. Thank God for dreamers who will not settle for the status quo. And an observation of Joe or Joseph is that this young man was a talented guy, okay? Just understand that it's pretty obvious as we read the story, and I encourage you to get a little bit of background on some of this as we go through the story of Joseph over the next few weeks, but it's pretty obvious that as you read about him, he is a talented young man. I would say this would be my observation, that Joseph, he had a big gift and he had a big gob. Constantly telling everyone about his selfie dreams and what he'd seen about himself. Constantly spouting up. You know, I think this whole big gift, big gob thing is often the case with very gifted people. It's gone very quiet in here. And here's this young man that's just developing and maybe being a little bit unwise with some of the things that he's dreaming about at this stage in his life. You know what? What didn't help in this scenario is the fact that he was daddy's boy. He was his father's favorite. It says so in the narrative. He was his father's favorite. Can you imagine the tension going on in the family house? Because as I start to bring and lay this before you and give you a little bit of background, you understand some things that Joseph was one of 12 brothers. You don't surprised at that. One of 12 brothers, 10 of his brothers, were brothers from a different mother. You can imagine, as life was going on in this home and the tension that came, particularly when they understood that Joseph is the favorite, you know. When mum's baking, it's Joseph who gets to lick the bowl. You know, when they're going somewhere or someone's to be praised, it's usually Joseph. And so there's this whole favorite son kind of syndrome going on. And just to give you a little bit more background, Jacob was his father. Jacob was 91 years of age when his wife gave birth to Joseph. Still life in the old man. And just to let you know that Joseph was born, his mother's name was Rachel, who also happened out of the wives that Jacob had. Rachel was Jacob's favorite wife as well. And interestingly in the story, Rachel, for all the years that Jacob had been married to her, had been barren. She'd never been able to give birth to children until Joseph came along. And so now, from his favorite wife, he's birthed this son that now becomes his favorite. You understand where some of the favoritism could have come from. And the thing that I really want to press and just open this story up to you, just with a thought this morning, really, is that the story goes that Jacob, the father of Joseph, had an incredibly spectacular coat made for his son, Joseph. It's now just dropped for some of you why this is sat on the stage next to me. For the sake of the podcast, there is a spectacular coat. And so he had this coat made for Joseph, and this coat stood out from all other coats. It says in the Bible it was this colorful coat, Genesis 37, verse 3. And I want to say that this was a pretty spectacular coat. How many know that his brothers weren't keen on his brother's coat? This was a pretty special coat. And I want to make this point right now, and I want you to picture Joseph in his coat right now. 17 years of age and with this coat of many colors on him. Just picture that right now. And here's my point. He looked spectacular. Do you hear me? He looked spectacular. Is something going on behind me? Oh, there you go. Funny shaped head, anyway. He looked spectacular. Hear what I'm saying. When he wore his coat, when he had his coat on, he looked spectacular. There was something on him. Hear me. There was something on him that made him look spectacular, but underneath his coat was his ordinary. He carried a coat and he carried an ordinary. And so very simply, I want to share the fact that he looked the part. Everyone say he looked the part. He looked the part, but I wonder how well was he doing at the ordinary. The guy looked spectacular. His brothers hated him for it, but he looked the part. But how well was he doing at the ordinary? Was he being spectacularly normal? And I think probably if we look at his life at this stage in his early life, on the one hand, he was doing okay. He's 17 years of age. He's looking and tending his father's sheep. And so he is showing a measure of responsibility in life, yeah? So in the ordinary, he's looking after daddy's sheep and doing a pretty good job. But on the other hand, however, his mouth, everyone say his mouth. His mouth kept on getting him into trouble. Here's an observation. In ordinary life, it's often our immature mouth that gets us into difficulty. Whatever age we are. You know what I'm saying? It went quiet, so I'm going to change the point. Here's a question. How much easier would it be if we could just put on a colored coat in life? Don't you think that would be easier if we could just have a garment that looks spectacular and we constantly live in that garment? Wouldn't that be easier? A technicolored dream coat lifestyle. Can I remind you that when Joseph tried that, he ended up in a pit? So here's my main question for you this morning as I ask myself this question. What's your coat? What's your coat? What is your coat? Let me ask it a different way. What is the colorful clothing? What is the colorful thing that you try to wear that gives you an appearance of spectacular, but just covers up your grapple with the ordinary deal of life? Does that make sense? I'm going to say that again. What is the colorful thing that you try to wear that gives you an appearance of being spectacular, but just in fact covers your grapple with the ordinary deal of life? The thing that you run to hide behind when your ordinary is exposed. You know, I reckon about life that the majority of our life is spent doing the ordinary. Would that be fair? The majority of our life is spent doing ordinary things, ordinary practices, the mundane. And because of that, why would we even try and cover it up with some kind of spectacular coat? Why would we try and hide the ordinary? Even if we, maybe because we're not doing it that well. If this is about how to be the very best at your ordinary, maybe when we feel we're not doing well in seasons of life, in the ordinary, we put on the coat because it gives us the appearance of spectacular. It's a coat of many colors. I think what we do instead of journeying through the ordinary, when we struggle with the ordinary, we often cover it up with some stuff. That can look like all kinds of things. Loads of stuff. Pride. We don't want anybody to really know that we're not doing that great. That ordinary is really hard for us. And so we have these things that we do or we say or we wear that makes the appearance that we're okay, but we're not okay. Is this making sense? Things like speech, things like stuff, things like success. You know all this stuff that's bombarded at us? This is how to be spectacular. This is how to look spectacular. Sometimes the coat that we wear that covers up our ordinary because we don't feel we're doing that well at it is speech. Sometimes our claims to be what we're really not. You ever done that? We say stuff, but we know it's not really right. We stand our corner or at work in the office, we'll say some things. We use our speech, and it becomes a coat of many colors that gives an appearance of spectacular. But the reality is, it ain't that colorful. That we're just struggling in the ordinary. And so we say things or we try and glisten stuff that's pretty dull because it's ordinary and we're not doing well at it, but we want it to be spectacular. So we put that coat on and we say things and we claim things that aren't necessarily right, but it makes us have the appearance that we're okay and it's spectacular. Another one of those coats, of course, is just stuff. Just things. Nothing wrong with things. But you know, the things sometimes that we want are just to cover up for our ordinary. It's like we have to have that thing because other people have got that thing. And if we don't have that thing, people might not think that we're doing well in life. And so the reason that we try and keep up with the Joneses and we buy that stuff and sometimes we get into terrible debt for that stuff and we mess our ordinary up even more because we're trying to wear a coat of many colors that looks the part but isn't really the part. It's just a coat. And we don't want to be exposed from this coat because we like the coat. It makes us feel good. We feel colorful when we have those things. We've now kept up with the Joneses, and so we feel a little bit better. But you know inside that really doesn't fulfill you, and you think, do you know what? In the ordinary life, I ain't doing that well. I'm wearing a coat. There's so many other things. Maybe we'll share some other stuff another week. Success is another one. But it just covers up our ordinary and keeps the appearance. Let me, as I round this up this morning, let me share something that was a real positive thing about this coat. Because here's Joseph as a young guy walking around in his coat that his dad's bought him, and everybody looks at Joseph. He's so colorful. And this is what I believe. In a positive perspective, I believe that that coat that he wore that made him look spectacular at that point was just a prophetic foresight of what he would become. Now that's good. So we see him here, and he's having all these selfie dreams, and God's showing him some stuff, and his brothers are kicking off, and even his daddy's telling him off for saying some stuff. He says, you've got to learn how to use your mouth, son. You've got to learn how to be wise in the things that you say about what God's saying to you. But he felt comfortable in the jacket and in this coat. But there was an ordinary underneath this coat that God was trying to journey. Hear this. There was an ordinary underneath his jacket that God was trying to journey to spectacular. But he was wearing this coat without any real journey of the ordinary. You get my drift? But it was a prophetic foresight. And just before I pray, let me say this. You may be here this morning and you may have a dream today. Thank God. That's great. You may have ambition. God, great. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe that you get to the dream primarily through becoming expert at doing the ordinary well. You do it by doing the ordinary well. The spectacular, it's paved with normality. I'm telling you, the road to the spectacular is paved with normal stuff. Learn to be your very best at doing ordinary, but never settle for average. Father God, hear our prayer. As our heads are bowed, come on, as our heads are bowed, Lord, and we begin to think about our lives, our everyday, ordinary lives, our sleeping, our eating, our going out to work, our walking around life, trying to navigate life. Lord, you're asking us in all of that ordinary to place it before you as an offering. And God would say that we want to embrace what you want us to embrace. We don't want to be so well adjusted to the bombardment of society and our culture. We don't want to just be like that, God. We want to be the right kind of spectacular. And so help us, Lord, not just to get taken away with this culture without even thinking about it. I pray that we'll recognize what you want from us. And Lord, we will respond to it. And unlike this culture that bombards us every day of our lives, always trying to drag us down to its level of immaturity, Lord, we're going to believe that you're going to bring the best out of us. Lord, that it's your work so that we will be well-formed and mature in you. Lord, we know essentially that these talks are going to be about us coming into maturity. Lord, and learning to live our ordinary, everyday lives before you as an offering. God, help us to not despise that offering. God, help us not to despise our ordinary. Because we reckon that as we walk that road of normality and ordinary things, and as we pass it to you, as we give it as an offering, as we learn to live our very best at ordinary, God, you will take us, I believe, to some spectacular things in our lives. And so help us, I pray, in the name of Christ. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.